Praise God for the love of God. And the love of Christ is the glue that holds the church together. It is an adhesive that cannot be destroyed. It is a power that cannot be undone. The love of Christ is that glue. And I praise God for all of you this morning, and just the opportunity to be a part of this service and to bring God's word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we see ourselves as broken and undone before you. And yet, Lord, with this cry, we see that we are acceptable in your sight, not because of our brokenness or not because we're undone, but because of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, slain for us. We thank you that we can come to the throne of grace this morning, finding help in time of need. Yes, Lord, we can come boldly with thankfulness and joy. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through this word. These are simple words you have left us, Lord. Oh, yet how deep they are. That we would live them, Lord. That we would be light, even as you are light, to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we heard in our text this morning, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And in Matthew chapter 5, as I continue this series in the Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus, as he went up on a mountain and seated his disciples, he opens his mouth and he speaks these words. And as Max read out verse 14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This morning I want to make three simple statements about this passage. Three statements. The first, God is light. God is light. There can be no doubting it and no disputing it. When you turn on light, darkness flees. When radiant light is present, it cannot be argued with. The Lord Jesus came among sinful men and was murdered because the light shone so brightly in such a dark place, in such a dark world. You cannot dispute it. You cannot doubt it. When radiant light is present, it cuts through everything. It cuts through. It reveals darkness. It reveals shadows, things lurking behind things. And Jesus, he came. But men love darkness rather than light. In John chapter 1, and Pastor already alluded to this, we read at the beginning of this book in John 1 that as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, we read of Christ, he's coming into this world, and from verse 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and they did not comprehend it. They didn't understand it, and they didn't want to understand it, because their hearts were darkened, their thoughts were dark, and they were alienated from God, and therefore alienated from Christ. So when Christ came in and came to his own, those that claimed to know God, in fact, did not know God, because light shone in and revealed the darkness of their man-made religion. And it's the same today. Christ comes and his light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it, nor does it want to comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, Praise God, John was a man who was shut in with God. He was shut in with God in the caves, in the desert. He subsisted on honey and wild locusts, and there he spent time with God. There he received light. And Jesus said there was none greater born of women than this man, John the Baptist, who came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There's a big clue in here about what I want to just evolve in this message this morning. John radiated the light. He bore witness to the light, but he was not that light. That was the true light, Christ, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him. The God of the universe stepped onto this planet. And though the world was made through him, the world did not know him. He came to his own. He came to those who claimed to be his people. And yet they did not receive him. But there was a remnant. There was a people. And in verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God." Friends, this morning this message is about the church. We are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. As many as received him, this is speaking to those that are his, to them he gave the right by entering in through the blood, in the blood of the new covenant, to enter in and have fellowship with God and to become children of God, even to those who believed into his name, who were born not of blood. "Nicodemus, you must be born again," Jesus said. "How can I enter into the womb of my mother a second time?" No, no, Nicodemus. "That which is born of flesh is born of flesh, but that is which is born of the Spirit is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about new birth in the Spirit. If you are born again, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, that's new birth. That's the entry point. Christ is light. God is light. God is light and God is holy. In 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. This is the message. Men love darkness rather than light, but it doesn't change the fact. God is penetrating, all-consuming light. And just so that we're very clear on this text, John adds, in him there is no darkness at all. There's no shadow. This light comes from every direction. If you have a single light, it might cast shadow in some places. But God's all-consuming light, because he is omnipresent, because he is omniscient, in glory, his light fills everything and every place, and no creature is hidden before him. No creature is hidden in his sight. Dear friends, there's no darkness in him at all. The light is all penetrating, and darkness flees from this light. It flees, it runs, it escapes. This light can't be diluted and it can't be defiled. It is so pure. God is light and God is holy. Surely if today we met the glorified, risen Jesus, this day we would fall at his feet as dead. Revelations 1 and verse 12 describes the Son of Man. "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Friends, many preach many Jesuses today. But have you met that Jesus? Have you met the Jesus of the Bible? The Jesus of light? The Jesus of holiness? The Jesus whose countenance is like the sun shining in its strength? This is the Jesus whom we proclaim. This is the God who is light. God is light. And my second comment about these verses, God has called us to be light. And this is talking about our personal sanctification, but about the church as well. The light of the world, the city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. John reminds us again in 1 John 1, 5-7. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we claim to have fellowship with the one who shines as the countenance of the sun, and yet we walk in darkness, if it is possible to meet such a one as John met when he fell before him as dead on the Isle of Patmos, if we say we have fellowship with this one, with the God of the Bible, and yet our walk, our lifestyle is a walk of darkness, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. In fact, John later says that we do not know him. We do not know him. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is light, and now God has called us to be light and to walk in the light. There is a test here. This is the test of fellowship with God. Do you know the light? And do you walk in the light? Do you know him who is holy? And do you walk with him who is holy? For he has called us to be holy. And as I meditated upon this message and upon these scriptures, oh, I saw how dark my darkness is. And I cried with the psalmist David in Psalm 86, 1-5, bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Friends, if the light comes and shines in on your life, you see your own wretchedness, you see your own poverty, and you see your own need. You're not lifted up. You don't trust in the arm of the flesh. And the psalmist says, bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me. Do you know the Lord Jesus said, the Lord God said, I dwell in two places, I the holy and lifted one. I dwell in the heavens, and also with him who is of a contrite spirit and a broken heart. And the psalmist says, I am poor and needy. When I see your light, I am poor and needy. When I see that you shine as the countenance of the sun, I fall down as dead before you. Saul, who became Paul, fell on his face and was blinded for 3 days when he met the Lord Jesus. Preserve my life, for I am holy. See, how can he lay claim to such a thing? David can say, preserve my life, for I am holy, for you are my God. That's the secret. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice, the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. Do you walk in the light as he is in the light? And does the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse you from all sin? Not from some sin, but from all your sin. Do you walk in the light? For you, unto you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, for you are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Call upon the name of the Lord this morning. Call upon the name of the Lord. Let the light shine in on any darkness. Let the light shine in on any darkness in your life, any hidden sin. Renounce the things. Renounce the things of darkness. Renounce them. Turn your back on them. And walk. Walk in the light. For God is holy. And if we cannot say, I am holy because of God, then we're not seeing this. In and of myself, there and in my flesh, there is no good thing. There is no good thing in me. But God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. There is no hidden thing. There is no evil thing. There is no unclean thing. There is no impure thing. In Him is no darkness at all. God's people are called to proclaim light in a world engulfed in darkness. We are not to be blemished by that light. We are not to be spotted or have our garments defiled by darkness. We are called out of darkness into light. And as we walk in the light in a world that's engulfed in darkness, just as Jesus came to shine light upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, Jesus has left the earth. He has left a remnant, a people, a peculiar people called to good works. That's us. Christ is the true light. And we are His reflections. He is the sun and we are His moons. We are called to radiate His light. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, called out of darkness. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It is open and exposed for all to see. And as Pastor said, as the light shines out of those windows of that city on the hill, it gives light. It shines bright. It's impossible to miss. Praise God. For He has had a light in Hazelbrook for 20 years here. I praise God for last week, and I praise God for what God has done in these 20 years. A group of believers who are called by His name, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And as we saw last week, people come and people go. They are added. People leave. Each one is a light. There are many lights across this land. And indeed across this world, many lighthouses pointing people to Christ, to the only living God. And as people we come and go, yet if we are His, if we are true believers, we will join ourselves with another lighthouse, with another light. This is the test of true believers, not that they go and they don't join themselves to another light, but true believers join themselves with another light. Let the light of God's church, wherever it is on this earth, might shine brightly for Jesus. Every family is a light. Large or small, each individual is important and is a light. We are made up from every tribe and nation and tongue. We come together with all our differences under the Word of God, under the Spirit of God. And if we walk in the light, we are that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are the remnant of God on this earth. We are the church, the light, the remnant of God on this earth. And Christians die as the older ones go to glory. The baton is passed to the younger generations. And God is saving souls in this place and all around the earth for His glory, for the glory of His name. He will always have a remnant, a people set apart, peculiar, zealous for good works, who are called to rise up in faith and follow the footsteps of the multitudes that have gone before us to the glory of His great name. Praise His name for that. Praise His name for that. But there's a warning attached in here as well. And I want to give it mention in verse 15 of Matthew 5. It says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You do not put it under a basket, friends. A hidden light, though it's light, is a useless light. You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house, friends. A secret Christian is as strange as a hidden light. Lights are to illuminate, to give light, not to be hidden, not to be covered. We should not hide our light for fear of offending others or because of indifference, carelessness, whatever it might be. We should not be unfaithful to the Lord who has called us to be light. He has called us to be light. God is light, friends, and we are called to be light. And the third and simple point is the purpose of Christ's light in us is to glorify God. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When what we do as Christians causes people to be attracted to us rather than to God, to our human character, to our exploits, whatever it be for Christ, rather than to Him and to His divine character, if people are attracted to us rather than to God, we can be sure that what they are seeing is not His light. If men are attracted, you know, you read of the Puritans, you read of the great revivals in England, in Wales, in America. You know, there were platforms for the 5 and the 10 and the 15,000s. And the Holy Spirit would so burden these preachers to preach a message. And there was one man who was up going to preach, and the Holy Ghost showed him in as he's preparing to go up and preach, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, they're coming to see you, not to see me. They're coming to hear you. They're coming to see you and not to see me. And he didn't go up and preach. He left that 10,000 hanging. He left them there until the Holy Spirit had done a work. These men who did not seek acclaim, these men of God and women of God throughout the age and who are before us today, who no one knows about, who don't have their name up in lights, they are the ones giving God the glory. That men may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. The word Carlos for good that Jesus is using is an attractive or beautiful appearance. The light shining should allow men to see good works, the good works of the beauty that the Lord has worked in us. To see good works by us is to see Christ in us. That is why Jesus says, let your light shine. It's not something we create. It's not something that we work up or make up, but we allow the Lord to do through us. That is why the psalmist David was broken before God. That is why every man, woman and child of God who has ever lived, who has given glory to God, has allowed God's light and God's glory to work through them as a vessel, channels only. It's God's light. We choose whether to hide it or whether to let it shine for God's glory. Now, what are the works in verse 16? What are the works, the good works that glorify your Father in heaven? As a young Christian, I always thought these were works, good works that we do as Christians, that we give to the poor, and we should, that we help the orphan and the widow, and we should, etc., etc. But in the context of light, in the context of holiness, in the context of who God is, and in this passage, I believe those works are works unto repentance. I believe those works are works of repentance. They are good fruits in your life. They show that you have confessed and forsaken your sin. They show that you are walking in the light of Christ. And the good works are not necessarily giving, not necessarily doing, but the good works show holiness, that you are walking in light, that you have fellowship one with another, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Friends, the world doesn't understand when we give to the persecuted church. The world does not understand, and we ought to give, because they give to charities. The world does not care for our support to the needy and orphans, and we ought to support the needy and orphans, for they themselves support humanitarian causes. Friends, humanitarian causes of the world oftentimes exceed the giving of the churches. The works that men will see in this context, the works that men will see that they'll give glory to God, the works that men will note is a holy people who are set apart for God, who have come out of darkness and walk in pure, radiant light of the Word, and of the Lord Jesus. By the power and infilling of the Holy Spirit, this is the work of God. And the works, the fruits of that are works of repentance and of glory to God. Repentance unto faith. They see me, they see you, who were once sin, now walking, transformed by the glorious light of Christ. This alone will give glory to God. This will give glory to God. Remember, James says pure religion and undefiled is to visit widows and orphans in their affliction. And many leave it right there. Many perhaps well-meaning churchgoers or organizations have left it there. What does it say further? And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You cannot just have the works of giving to orphans and widows, which is good, and we should. But you must be pure and keep yourself unspotted from the world. There are many places you will go into where you will be comfortable in your sin in that church. You will be comfortable in your sin because you give, because you support, because you tithe, etc., etc., because they're doing missions, etc., etc. Friends, the two have to go together. They have to go together. Our good works are to magnify God's grace and power. This is our supreme calling in life, to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. Everything we do is to cause others to give praise to God, to the one who is the source of all good. The flesh focuses on our good works without mention of sin. The flesh is comfortable for a little bit of sacrifice, but doesn't want the all-consuming radiance of the sun. But those who love the Lord Jesus and walk in fellowship with Him, they walk in the light as He is in the light and have fellowship one with another. And the blood of their Lord Jesus, their Redeemer, cleanses them from all their sin. Cleanses us from all sin. I've said this before, but it was said of Robert Murray McChain, that godly Scottish minister, that his face carried such an expression of godliness and light. The light shone through him that people were known just to fall on their knees and accept Christ just because of his presence. Philippians 2 verse 12. Philippians 2 verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Friends, we are poor and we are weak and we are needy. But He is holy, He is pure, and He is strong. If we abide in Him, we will not rest in the arm of the flesh. We will not take our strength from anything we have done or who we are. But we will rest in Him and gain strength from Him. And we can be, as Job was, blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault. Do we sin? Yes, we sin. Do we fall short of the glory of God? Yes, continually. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we can be cleansed. And we are encouraged to walk in the light and shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And further in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." Friends, if we in ourselves try to stand without mercy in the light and pure holy radiance of God, we would be dead. We would be dead. We would be consumed from the face of the earth. But because Christ has loved us and given Himself for us, when His light shines on us, we do not lose heart. The light comes not to discourage us. The light does not come to consume us, but to consume our sin and any hidden motive of darkness. And we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Yes, this applies to those who speak from the pulpit. But when you read the Bible, do not handle the word of God deceitfully. Do not just take the parts that please you. Take it all. Take it all. The parts that are hard. The parts that shine light into your darkness. Take the whole word of God. Do not handle it deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It is veiled to those who are blinded, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Friends, Christ came to this earth and they did not comprehend Him. Light came and it was not comprehended. And friends, do not be discouraged. It will be the same today. For the most part, with the most that you rub shoulders with, they will not understand it. Their minds, the God of this age, who is the God of this age? The enemy, Satan himself, has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Friends, God is light. We are called to be light. We are called not to hide that light. In fact, we are to proclaim and live that light. That God would save some, and He is, and He will. He is saving some, and He will. And it might take another 20 years of labor to save one soul, but it would be worth it. To the glory of God, it might take another 20 years to see one soul saved, and it would be worth it. It would be worth it. That God, the Lamb of God, would receive the reward of His suffering. For we do not preach ourselves. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Beware of any preaching. Beware of any doctrine. Beware of any movement that gives any glory to man. That gives any glory to the leader. Beware, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Isn't it amazing that the man who wrote half of the New Testament was sometimes alone? Was forsaken by all? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? We preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let your light shine before men, that they may give glory to the Father who is in heaven. That they may give glory. There was a French man, François Fenelon, and his communion with God was such that people spoke of his face shining with divine radiance because he was shut in with God. There was a religious skeptic who one time was compelled to spend the night in an inn with Fenelon. And he hurried away the next morning saying, if I spend another night with that man, I'll be a Christian in spite of myself. I'll be a Christian in spite of myself. What were the works that gave glory to God in this man's life? His communion with God was such. He spent time in the light. Moses had to veil himself. And as he came out, his face shone so bright that they had to put a veil upon him. Friends, we are in the new covenant of his blood. We do not take this table lightly. We have renounced the hidden things of darkness. And if we were to question ourselves this morning, can we answer this in truth? Do I walk in the light as he is in the light? Is repentance over sin evident in my life? Do others see the light of Christ in me, in you? Or do they praise you for what you do? Do they give glory to God or to man? A closing thought. One day the light will be taken out of this corrupt world forever. One day the light will be taken out and snatched up out of this world forever. Revelation 22. In closing. Revelation 22. First five verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Francis Jane Crosby, the writer of hundreds, perhaps thousands, even of hymns. One day when introduced to speak to a group of pastors, the pastor, introducing her in a well-meaning way, spoke of her condition and the suffering that she had to face by living with blindness all her life. But as she rose to speak, she gently rebuked this pastor and said, no, I have no regrets. She spoke not of her suffering, for she said, the first face that I shall see is the face of my glorious Savior. Can we see as this woman saw, though she was blind? Do we see the beauties of our Lord? Do we see His radiant love and His radiant life is not to cripple or harm us, but to help us in this dark and perverse generation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are light. We thank You, God, that You are light and in You there is no darkness at all. We thank You, Lord God, that You cannot be defiled. You cannot be impure. You cannot be unholy. And there is no shadow of turning in You, Lord. You cannot change. We come to You now. And Lord, in our flesh, we confess there is no good thing. Help us to walk in the light of Christ. Help us to shine the light of Your countenance and reflect that in a dark world. May we not be influenced by darkness, but may our light shine so before men, and that those good works that come from us will be from pure motives, from a pure heart that You have purified for the glory of Your name. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.